Hex. Posted on Sunday, September 10, 2023. So we had a hackathon at the office a little while ago, with the explicit purpose of harnessing generative language models in some interesting way. It was a fun exercise along the lines of the various coding dojos I attended in the before time, and really opened my eyes to some of the options I had in terms of processing data. My expectation was that I'd be using some of the stuff I developed earlier, link in post, and possibly pushing a bit into the realm of prompt engineering private server deployment. This turned out to be kind of correct. The language... So first quasi-surprise, the lingua franca of my company internal teams turns out to be Python. I was betting on Node.js, or possibly Golang. But it turns out there's a diversity of language use internally, including me as the one and only Clojure Emacs user. But it turns out that each individual team hates the first choice language of most of the others. Python isn't anyone's favorite, but it also has no haters, and given that it already has decent bindings to replicate link and post, OpenAI link and post, on theory, Vertex link and post, and that it's still intentionally up there in the Lago bar, I went ahead with it. The bindings are a bit more annoying to use than what I put together over in Clojure land, link and post, but someone else maintains them, and they work. The only hiccup I had was that the authentication procedure for Vertex, AI, link and post, is what we technically refer to as batshit insane. I'm sure it makes perfect sense for someone inside of Google, or for someone using a Google-branded web interface, or possibly Google Doc API to hook into their generative capabilities. But if you want to use it from a Python or Clojure script in the way that the Replicate and OpenIKI APIs make damn near trivial, you're shit out of luck. At some point it became clear that putting together the authentication subsystem of a Vertex project would take way more effort than any of the actual business logic, and I decided to bail on it. Replicate and model capabilities. I'd only been using the OpenAI offering before this hackathon, and I've been deliberately ignoring all current event-related news, so I was mildly surprised by the breadth of options on offer from Replicate. It turns out you can run voice generation, link and post, short video generation, link and post, really nice image generation, link in post, image labeling, description, question answering, link in post, and various other minor vision image correction tasks. That's in addition to the previously known voice transcription, photo generation, and human-level chat. Also, in addition to standardizing model interfaces into a labeled set of inputs and exposing a minimal and nice API for it, you can use a tool named Cog to pull models down and use them locally. Assuming you have a GPU-capable rig, I mean. Which I think basically everyone other than me has at this point. I'm going to see what I can do to change that. Blog reader. One borderline trivial application of the tech out right now is reading blogs. That is, it's relatively easy to write the function of type blog post to podcast episode. It involves a bunch of API calls against some TTES model, link in post, and some image captioning model, link in post. But the outline is relatively simple. Take a blog post in some formation, break it up into readable chunklets, accounting for things like paragraph, headings, lists, code blocks, links, and images, optionally feed the images into a descriptor model-like clip. Feed each readable chunklet into something like Tortoise TTS, optionally doing error trapping correction by feeding the results back into something like Whisper. Stitch the results together with variable length silences interspersed to get a decent reading cadence. Here's what I did as a first pass. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Python and performs various tasks related to text extraction, script normalization, script reading, and sound manipulation. It imports several libraries such as replicate, requests, urllib, json, re, beautiful soup, PipTQDM, Markdown, NLTK, and check out it defines functions to extract text from HTML and Markdown, normalize scripts, download and read text as audio, and perform sound manipulation operations like concatenation and silence generation. That's the end of the code block. This is possibly the least intimidating Python code I've written, I don't know, years? It's literally a bunch of string manipulations and API calls. Literally. Here is a code block. This code block is written in the Python programming language. It defines several helper functions to extract and sanitize text from HTML, including handling images, links, quotes, lists, the main function, script from HTML, takes an HTML string, uses beautiful soup to parse it, and returns a list of extracted text. That's the end of the code block. That's the core of the Chunkle2Fire. It takes HTML input and goes element by element, returning the spoken text and surrounding silence specification. Longer silences precede titles, shorter ones surround links and quotes, and a few elements also get their own extra textual treatment. I'm honestly not exactly sure how to deal with ULS yet. So this is just an absolutely minimal first crack. Given that this assumes HTML input, I've also got two utility functions to deal with the test cases I've been running this thing through. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Python. It defines two functions, script from Markdown and script for Substack. The script from Markdown function takes a Markdown document as input and converts it to script by first converting it to HTML using the Markdown module and then passing it along. The script from Substack function takes a URL of a Substack post as input, parses the URL to extract the subdomain and slug, makes an API request to the Substack API to fetch the post data, and converts the HTML body of the post to script. That's the end of the code block. The first one takes a Markdown string and predictably digests it into HTML before running the previous function on it. The second one takes a Substack, link and post, page, and runs some magic required to get the post content out of it in order to read it. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Python and performs script normalization. It defines three functions, break paragraphs or merge a silence, and normalize it. The break paragraphs function breaks a given script into sentences and yields each sentence. The merge a silence function merges adjacent silences into longer ones and removes any trailing silence. Finally, the normalize script function combines the functionality of the previous two functions and returns the normalized script as a list. That's the end of the code block. Once the script is output, I want to normalize it. This is both for silence clustering related purposes and because something stupid happens every once in a while, where the Tortoise TTS model outputs garbled audio if its input is too long. The first part of error correction here is chunking out the input as finely as possible, because this is a first pass. I haven't taken the suggested transcription step to check that the returned audio at least approximates the input text in terms of content. Okay, so we've got a script now. Next, we read it. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Python. It defines three functions. Downloads m3, which downloads an m3 file from a given URL, and saves it to a file with a specified name. Read, which takes a text input and generates an audio output using a pre-trained text-to-speech model. And read the script, which processes a script by converting its text blocks into audio files and saving them locally. That's the end of the code block. This is exactly what it looks like. Read a script goes through a script generated by the previous set of functions and feeds every text block into the Tortoise TTS model, ensuring that there is one specific voice doing the reading, and downloads the resulting M3 files. It also adds them into a local cache construct. This was entirely to save myself from making a few thousand of the same TTS request over the course of my experiment. The last part is sound file manipulation code, all of which calls out to SOX to do any actual work. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Python. The first function, info, takes a sound file name as input and uses the SOX library to retrieve information about the sound file, such as its duration and file format. It returns this information in the form of a dictionary. The second function, silence, generates a silent audio file of a specified duration using SOX and saves it to a file name based on the duration. The third function, cat, takes a script and an output file name as input. It extracts audio files from the script, either from a cache or by generating silence, and concatenates them using SOX into a single audio file named by the output file name. It returns the output file name. That's the end of the code block. It also looks pretty basic to me, but I'm going to let ChatGPT explain this one. Using some new functions from my ADAV mini library, link and post, an XADAV explain region ret results in. There is a longer quote. This code provides three functions that work with audio files using the command line tool SOX. Let's go through each function to understand what it does. 1. Info sound name. This function takes a file name sound name as input and returns a dictionary with information about the audio file. It uses the checkoutput function from the subprocess module to execute the SOXI command, which returns information about the audio file. The stout of the command is captured and decoded from bytes to a string. The splitlines method is used to split the string into lines, and resplit is used to split each line into key-value pair. The resulting key-value pairs are transformed into a dictionary where the keys are converted to lowercase with spaces replaced by hyphens. 2. Silence, duration, rate 20, 4,000 channels gone. This function generates a silent audio file with a specified duration. It uses the checkoutput function to execute the following SOX command. SOX NRR operated C channels output of Linami. Trim 0.0.0 durations. The rate and channels parameters determine the audio properties, defaulting to 24,000 highs and 1. The output file name is determined dynamically based on the specified duration. The generated silent audio files then return. 3. Cat script output. This function concatenates multiple audio files together into an output file. It takes a list of script blocks and an output fill a name as input. For each block in the script, it checks if the block is already stored in a cache dictionary. If it is, it appends the corresponding file path to the inputs list. If the block is a dictionary indicating a silent audio segment, it generates a silent audio file using the silence function, stores it in the cache dictionary, and appends its file path to the inputs list. Finally, it executes the following SOX command using checkoutput. SOX input files output a phylonomy. The inputs list is constructed by concatenating all the input file paths. The output file name is specified at the final argument. The checkoutput function executes the command, resulting in the concatenation of the input audio files into the output file. The output file name is then returned. To use this code, you need to have SOX installed on your system and accessible from the command line. You can then call these functions passing the appropriate arguments to achieve the desired audio processing tasks. Here are a few ways you might modify this code. You could change the info function to return a more comprehensive dictionary with additional audio file information, such as duration, sample rate, and number of channels. You could modify the silence function to generate silent audio files in different formats or with specific audio properties, e.g. bit depth. You could modify the cat function to support different concatenation methods, such as fading in and out between segments or applying effects. Now we resume the text. That's pretty good for about 5 seconds worth of work, and is incidentally the best use I put ChatGPT to so far. The end result of running this script in an admittedly convoluted way on an earlier draft of this post is this link in post. It still has some rough edges, which I can very probably deal with in the next version. I intend to release this and possibly do something else with it too. Okay, this is the end of the part where I'm soberly describing what I've done and going off on a wild speculative tangent. You've been warned. The interface to Utopia. Voices.com, link in post, is a website where voice actors submit voice clips in order to audition for prospective clients to give them work, and clients can find people to voice their whatever. Audiobook, inane advertisement, weird corporate coaching thing, podcast, whatever it is you want to be read by someone with an appropriately sexy voice. I just showed you the nascent steps of a robot that can effectively do their job. All right, did I mention that Tortoise TTS can take a 10 minutes of voice audio in MP3 format and read in that voice instead of one of the defaults like I did above? There's already link in post, a few link in post sites using link in post this as a business model. If you're a good capitalist, you can use this robot to obsolete that entire industry. You set up a service where people can get their whatever's read for cheaper, and then you collect your winnings until someone else manages to undercut you. Eventually, the floor falls out of the, quote, people, end quote, with sexy voices reading things market, and we all move on to the next industry. If you're a good anti-capitalist, you lobby for tighter natural moral copyrights to apply to voices and snicker at the dumb tech bros for trying to undermine existing industries without the legislative power of the state. Empirically, you also unintentionally entrench an oligopoly of existing players by doing this, but no one's going to tell you that you're a fucking moron over that minor detail, so whatever. If you're a good charismatic techno-optimist, as far as I can tell, you do this. Get a bunch of voice actors together and make them an offer. They let you use their pronouncements to unvoice your robot army, and in exchange, they get a cut of the robot army's profits. They get to specify what kinds of jobs they want, their voice is used for, and you enforce their will. Make an interface that accepts voice acting gigs on behalf of your voice actors. Each time a gig comes in, ask the voice actor if they want to do this one themselves. If they do, take a token cut, like 5% or something, coordinate a way to get their voice to the client, collect payment, and send them their lion's share. B. If they don't, or take longer than 24 hours to respond, have a robot do it instead. In this case, take a large but not lion's share, more like 30 to 50%, and send them the rest. Spread the word to anyone who needs voice services, and gradually absorb more and more voice actors until you rule the world, or more realistically, until competitors spring up and you undercut each other to give your clients cheaper voice services and or your talent higher pay. I'm not sure if I'm a charismatic enough techno-optimist, but I have to say, I find this a pretty interesting possibility. Here, as I can tell, there's a future coming up where machines can do equivalent or better jobs than humans in a lot of ways. And an excellent mechanism to not plunge anyone into desperate poverty without kneecapping our progress involves giving humans the right, but not responsibility, to do any work that they're capable of. Any work they refuse to do, give it to robots trained on the basis of their talents, and pay them for the privilege of the training. We can almost trivially run this playbook for voice actors, illustrators, transcribers, and minor copywriters. We're within striking distance of doing it for writers, in full generality, non-full-stack programmers, anyone involved in graphic novel or video production, and all call centers. And we have straight-line, not currently possible, but no obvious technical obstacles approaches to take on programming in full generality, sculpting, delivery, construction, accounting, driving, and cooking. If we could add food production to that list, we'd actually be in fully automated luxury, gay space, communism world, assuming nothing ate us in the meantime. This is purely a crazy, star-eyed optimist musing at the moment, but if someone gave me the offer, I'd very probably take it. This post had three footnotes that were omitted from this recording for now.